From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of July 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, will be here to look at the cash grain market. And we'll hear about the weather forecast with Steve Hilberg from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Along the way, we'll hear these agricultural news stories. Ethanol is on the agenda again in Washington, D.C. So is the flooding along the Missouri and Mississippi rivers. And we'll hear something about the southern cotton crop as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon from the CME Group, futures finished lower. The September contract for the soft red winter wheat down 20¾ cents with a settlement price today at $6.72 and a half. December 7, 15¾ down 19¼. Next year's July at 7.73, 19¾ cents lower. The September corn futures there down 16¾ cents today, $6.65 and a half. The settlement price for the lead option, the harvest month December corn, $6.68 and three quarters, down 17½ cents. The March at 681 and a half, 17¼ lower. The May at 687 and a half, down 18. July $6.92 and a quarter, 18¾ lower. Next year's December, the 2012 contract at 626 and a quarter, on a settlement price for Friday afternoon, 11 cents lower. August soybean futures, $13.54 and a quarter a bushel, down 13½ cents. September, $13.48 and a half. Down 14 for the day. November beans, the harvest month, 13.57 and a quarter, 14¼ lower. January, 13.68 and a quarter, down 13¾. And March soybeans, 13.74 and three quarters, down 13¼. November, 13.35 and a quarter, down 8¼. August bean meal at 351.60, down 370. August bean oil at 55.65, down 11 cents. Live cattle finished the August at 112.62 and a half, a dollar higher for the day. August feeders at 137 and a nickel, up $1.25, and lean hogs at 102.77 and a half, lead option 30 cents higher on this Friday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures at $95.76 a barrel, down $1.68. Ethanol at $2.89 and a tenth, a dime and 8 cents lower. Natural gas at $4.15 and 4 tenths, down 9 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel 0.9 cents lower at $3.06. And the gold futures for the day, $1,628.30 an ounce, up $14.90. The Dow at 12,195, just about 44 points lower at the hour. U.S. dollar at 73.87, down 0.34. And the CRB index at 342.08. down 2.57 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the Urbana-Champaign area. Skies for this afternoon will be cloudy with a high near 87 degrees, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. The wind should be calm out of the northwest at about 5 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies will continue, a low of 70 degrees, light north-northeast winds, and then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high near 88 degrees, east winds at about 6 miles an hour. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 71. Sunday, mostly sunny, the high near 91. Sunday night, clear, a low of 73. On Monday, sunny skies, a high of 91 degrees. And Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of just 75. Tuesday should show us a mostly sunny sky, a high near 94 degrees. And Tuesday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 74. By the time we get to Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms will continue. Those skies will be mostly sunny, a high near 90 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 70. And on Thursday of next week, partly sunny skies, a high near 88 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. And we talk with climatologist Steve Hilberg.
agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
This is the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us is Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, to take up the world of agricultural markets. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Might be more fun to start in Washington, D.C., where they've been stalemated, and the president has asked the nation to call and say, get things done, and apparently lots of folks are calling. I don't know what they're saying, but there are lots of calls coming in. What does it all mean to the world of markets?
I think in the short term, Todd, the focal point for us and what we do in the agricultural industry is to think about what the Standard & Poor's Ratings Agency is trying to keep us focused on, and that is they want $4 trillion of cuts over a 10 to 12 year time span in order for us to meet our entitlement needs of the Social Security, the Medicare, without having to further borrow more and go further into debt. They pretty much plainly said, if you don't give us that, even if you come up with a short-term debt limit issue of increasing the debt limit, we're still probably going to have to downgrade your debt rating. And that's what the fixed income markets, the capital markets, the bond markets are probably becoming more and more and have become more and more concerned with ever since middle part of the week. It seemed like to me that the tone really changed in the financial news in terms of the news wires and what you saw on the news networks, and then the tone really changed a lot on Thursday and Friday from contacts in Chicago. And I think a lot of that goes back to an interview I caught with the CME, Chief Executive Officer Donahue. He talked about how they were raising their haircuts, as they call them, on borrowing U.S. Treasuries. In other words, if you use U.S. Treasuries in short-term maturity debt for margin and for your accounts, they're going to take more up front from you as a way to cover themselves better. And I think that's where the rubber hits the road for what we deal with. The best way to categorize it probably is to say, yes, the corn crop is probably going down and it's shrinking, but so with it is the economy, and especially the fund investment is shrinking as well as we go down this path in Washington.
And was this the primary mover in Chicago today and the reason we were lower, or is there a weather-related issue?
I don't think it was weather, especially after the midday models came out. I felt like that the midday models were actually probably the driest of the week, and they kept the temperatures pretty warm for the 5 through 7 day time period. And probably more importantly, the tropical storm that was headed for Texas and hopefully going to help the southern plains and southern corn belt out looks like it's veering much farther west and into Mexico. And I took the weather as much more friendly to the grains than the grains took it on the close. And I think that's where, if I had to guess, it was probably a fund-led market all day long, and therefore it was mainly weather rebalancing, was Washington rebalancing and deleveraging more so than it was weather.
So the funds are truly scared, and they're moving paper around at this point, money that is. So what are they seeing as the safe harbors?
Well, actually, and you're right, the funds reportedly sold about 14,000 contracts of corn futures today, so it's a fairly significant volume today. But it's interesting you ask that question because the bonds are making new monthly highs. The 10-year yield is actually at a new 2011 low as we go into the post-session here in Friday afternoon. And this comes on the heels of the Treasury Department saying that it has told bond dealers now this afternoon that it will probably have to cancel the majority of its quarterly sales in bonds. What that has done, I think, is it's caused a lot of the market participants in fixed income to get out of the short-term money, get out of the short-term commercial paper, get out of short-term treasuries, and run to the benchmark, run to the 10-year, and run maybe to a lesser degree to the 30-year. So the demand is actually going up in the bond markets. And so you have the gold continuing to make new all-time highs this week, and now you've got the bonds going up in a very odd fashion because you'd think the confidence would be at a historic low for bonds, no matter what maturity. But right now the bond market, I think, is just caught in a trap. They don't know where else to go, because everything like anything else like gold is already so inflated.
And Well, you do this job every day. What do you think? I mean, I don't really know what question to ask you is the problem here. It's a unique situation. And can it be solved in Washington, D.C., I suppose, is one question. My guess is that you don't think so, especially given what they're looking at, not only a debt ceiling, but they really need to address how they pay for things in the future.
I think these things make me want to say balance the rallies with some sales, maybe not cash sales right now, but if we do turn around and go higher on the weather next week, or we get the debt, and I think we will get the debt ceiling raised, but again, will it meet Standard & Poor's needs? The best thing that happened this week in terms of kind of clearing the smoke from the room was that we saw the U.S. GDP grow at only 1.3% in the second quarter, and they took the first quarter down to 0.4%. The main reason they took it down so hard was because consumption was one of the worst we've seen, the weakest in 2 years. Consumption of appliances, consumption at restaurants, consumption at bars, that's where the rubber hits the road to me, Todd, and that's where if you're thinking sky-high prices because of weather, I think you need to dial that back down some and say, okay, I probably need to get some protection in place on rallies. I don't want to sell cash here. Don't recommend selling cash here, especially in a hole, and continue to look for that basis. As we stay dry, I think that basis becomes more and more your friend. The other thing I think we got to mention here is that Brazil's central bank made a huge move this week that shows us that the emerging markets don't want the weaker dollar anymore. They have put a derivatives tax on anybody that wants to buy the Brazilian real and sell the dollar. I think that's a big, big step in telling the U.S. we don't want the cheap dollar anymore. It's doing more harm than good. I think farmers need to put that in their plan as well.
Well, and if they put that in their plan, then that means a lower price for commodities. Am I correct?
I think it goes back to the higher we go on weather and supply with food and energy, the more we're killing the golden goose that laid the golden laid the golden egg. In other words, the emerging markets can't tolerate inflation at this point going up even more than it already has. They're already fighting it, and I think that whereas after the financial crisis, everybody in the central bank world worked together and they agreed we want low interest rates, we want a weak dollar. I think those days are gone, and that's where producers, I think, in the medium term need to balance the bullishness of the supply side with things like this that are going to affect us in the medium term.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
That'll do it. Just have a great weekend.
Hey, you too, Mike. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Bye-bye. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon. If you'd like to hear him again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You can also find our Commodity Week program there. It's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agricultural commodities. Our guest this week will be Bill Biederman of Allendale. Commodity Week will be posted by about 6 o'clock this evening at willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In today's agricultural news, a renewable energy coalition has written a letter to members of the House of Representatives discussing the Sullivan, Peters, and Burgess amendments that would block implementation of the Green Jobs Waiver for E15 approved after more than a year of lab testing. The coalition, including Growth Energy, the National Corn Growers Association, National Farmers Union, and Renewable Fuels Associations, among others, says the amendments would inhibit new innovation to provide alternatives for foreign oil. The group say the amendments would solidify the status quo of preventing American-made ethanol from getting to consumers. They say the amendments contribute to the nation's dependence on foreign oil. For American consumers, the coalition urges lawmakers to vote no on the amendments. We'll stay with ethanol production and biofuels. A study called Indirect Land Use Change for Biofuels, published in July's Biomass and Bioenergy Journal, and co-authored by researchers at Michigan State University, indicates biofuels production does not have much impact on indirect land use domestically and internationally. Dr. Roger Conway, former director of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Office of Energy Policy and New Uses, says this is the first evidence-based evaluation of ILUC, or indirect land use change, using historical data instead of global economic simulations. The University of Illinois at Chicago Energy Resources Center's Dr. Stephen Mueller says prior studies have substituted other data, like the price of corn, to project ILUC. He says these new findings show there is no substitute for using actual historical data. Well, there's been a congressional briefing on the flooding in Missouri. A Thursday briefing for members of Congress and staff focused on the flooding problems along the Mississippi and Missouri rivers and its impact on agriculture. Missouri Farmers Union President Richard Oswald said flooding in certain areas around the country, especially in parts of his state, Missouri, has had a devastating effect, and many are unaware of the magnitude of what is going on. Oswald said the levee system protected farms in Atchison County, Missouri, without incident for more than four decades until this year. Only 1993, with the highest rainfall levels in 500 years, stressed levees to the breaking point. According to Oswald, all who farm in the Missouri Valley hope to see a return to reliably managed, fully funded flood protection. Other panelists made various presentations highlighting different aspects of the flood. By the way, the 2003 rewrite of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers' Missouri River System Operating Manual has resulted in much less emphasis on flood prevention. That's according to Richard Oswald, who participated, of course, in that briefing to lawmakers and staff members in Washington, D.C. about the flooding in the Missouri River this summer. Oswald says the manual was the result of input from 10 state governors as well as wildlife, environmental, and recreational interests.
When it got right down to it, I think flood control and agriculture kind of got the short end of the stick, and that's took a little while to really show up. I think we've dealt with some problems as a result in the past, but I think just how short the end of the stick we got was is really obvious this year.
Much of Oswald's crop was lost when a northwest Missouri levee failed in June. He favors river management changes in part for what it could contribute to food security.
We're a nation of 300 million people, and if we don't feed ourselves, we're in big trouble, especially with the kind of land that we've got. And some of the very best land that we have for feeding people is in that Missouri River Valley underwater today.
That includes Oswald's house. The Corps has told him upstream releases are being decreased, but Oswald still does not expect to be able to get to his house until after August. And finally today, we'll move out of the Midwest and corn and soybean country into the South, where late planting, followed by hot weather, has caused the cotton crop to struggle in some Mid-South areas this year. Monsanto Territory agronomist Larry Gannon, based in Memphis, Tennessee, says timely rainfall, though, has proven critical for growers.
Well, it's a good year for us in a lot of places where we've gotten adequate rainfall this year. We were coming out of the gate slow because we had some root diseases back from the cool weather back in May. So the cotton crop got off to sort of a slow start. We're catching up now, and now it's really growing like it was supposed to. But as a rule, we're about 30 days behind on our cotton crop. So our season is going to be extended this year. We're going to be picking cotton way on into October. Cotton crop still has good potential for yield here. We're in a little bit more of a dry period here. So if you don't have irrigation, crop's starting to suffer a little bit on some of the hills that are thinner hills. I'm starting to see some pretty small cotton starting to bloom pretty close to the top, so that doesn't bode well for those acres. But in the bottoms and where we've got irrigation, cotton still looks real good.
Gannon says producers have not had ideal conditions for plant growth. On the other hand, they also haven't had to use as many plant growth regulators, or PGRs, on their cotton.
It's been pretty easy to manage it so far with PGRs because we just haven't had a lot of extreme growth conditions or conditions that promote excessive growth. So it's been easy from a plant growth regulator standpoint. So still the potential there for a pretty decent crop, but off to a late start, probably not going to have a really outstanding crop this year.
That's Larry Gannon, territory agronomist for Monsanto, and a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now up next on the Closing Market Report, three events in the month of August that will involve the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The three College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences events are the Illinois State Fair Sale of Champions, Agronomy Day on Campus, and the Farm Progress Show. The Illinois State Fair Sale of Champions is during Ag Day at the fairgrounds in Springfield. The Grand Champion Steer, Barrel, Weather, Meat Goat, Poultry Meat Pen, and Rabbit Meat Pen will be sold at the Sale of Champions auction on Tuesday, the 16th of August, at 5:30 p.m. at the Livestock Center. Added to the Sale of Champions auction will be a Grand Champion Land of Lincoln Steer, Barrel, and Weather. Proceeds, of course, from the sale helps 4-H and FFA members attend college, purchase breeding animals, and develop future careers. You can help support youth leadership by attending this year's Sale of Champions, Tuesday, the 16th of August, on the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. That same week, the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois will host its annual Agronomy Day. Please do plan to be at the Crop Sciences Research and Education Center. That's the South Farms to the east of the Assembly Hall on St. Mary's Road. Agronomy Day kicks off at 7 a.m. with field tours. You can visit with the scientists, faculty, and researchers at Illinois about their work on topics from entomology and weeds to genetics and future biofuel crops like miscanthus. This year's Agronomy Day will include a couple of special events that should expand its popularity beyond the farm community. There will be guided tours of the University of Illinois Arboretum's 60 acres of manicured gardens and tranquil landscapes at 8 and 10 a.m. And should you have a sick plant, you can bring it to the big orange and blue tent for a free diagnosis. Just visit the U of I Plant Clinic booth. Agronomy Day is Thursday, August 18th. Tours leave every half hour into the South Farms through noon. Lunch will be served for a nominal fee. Well, the final event lasts for 3 days. Be sure to come visit the University of Illinois tent on the Farm Progress Show site in Decatur, August 30th, 31, and September the 1st. The Farm Progress Show is the largest outdoor farm and equipment show in the nation. Students and farmers will find faculty and marketing analysts in the U of I tent. Orion Samuelson will be there, too. He'll take the stage at 10:30, and I'll handle the 2 and 3 p.m. stage shows. Visit the Farm Progress Show site for directions and information. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Checking the cash grain market on this Friday afternoon. With us is Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Did farmers get concerned as the markets tumbled today?
I would say they were concerned, and especially to the southern part of my draw area where we didn't get any rain, just saw it on the radar and saw the prices going down.
And basis has done what?
Basis has backed off. We started off last Friday at 40 over the SEP. We're 32 over for nearby corn.
And you expect that to break anymore?
I'm surprised. It looks like we're coming together. It's just hard when we're missing the rains, and I'm seeing deterioration in my area.
And you believe that the crop is there in Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska?
I guess the market's telling me it is, so we have to go that way.
Right.
I've got to get away from looking out my back door.
Absolutely. And what are your bids for the day?
We are at $6.98 for nearby corn. It's the first time we've been below $7 for quite a while. $6.52 on the new crop. Beans, $13.56 and $13.24 new.
Bruce, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He's out of Ludlow, Illinois. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, I'll be back with the weather forecast in just 2 minutes. You can always pick that up at willag.org if you'd like.
It's National Lasagna Day. It's also St. Martha's Day, patron saint of butlers, dietitians, cooks, innkeepers, and waitresses. On this day in agricultural history in 1796, Walter Hunt was born. He invented the first safety pin in 1849, which he called a dress pin. The pin was made out of brass wire about 8 inches long, coiled at the center and shielded at one end. He sold the rights to the pin for $400. By the way, Hunt began his inventing in his late teens with a machine to spin flax. In 1870, the first asphalt pavement was laid in the U.S. in Newark, New Jersey. In 1914, Baron Marcel Bic was born. A French inventor, he created the Bic pen in 1949. And in 1973, the Bic lighter. And in 1976, the Bic shaver. In 1977, Buffalo, New York declared this day Chicken Wing Day in honor of the famous Buffalo chicken wings created by Teresa Bellissimo in October of 1964. And in 1984, Fred Waring died. Waring provided financial backing for development of a blender to puree raw vegetables for his ulcer diet. The machine, originally introduced as the Miracle Mixer, debuted in 1937 and sold for $29.75. By 1954, the name had changed to the Waring Blender, and more than 1 million had been sold. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's a Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center is on the phone line this afternoon to talk about the weather forecast. Hi, Steve. How are you for the day?
Hey, Todd. Doing well.
Rainfall anywhere in the forecast in any area at this point?
Well, we've got a few echoes on radar now over eastern, northeastern Missouri, western Illinois, and then a few over east central Illinois, mostly Ford and Iroquois County. But it's pretty light right now. It's a little heavier rain this morning. There is an old frontal boundary laying around here, so that's going to provide the focus for some showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and perhaps even into tomorrow a little bit. Those will tend to be over southern Illinois, I think, the southern half of the state. Northern Illinois dry out just a bit because they certainly need to after the last week.
You know, southern Illinois has been pretty thirsty, so will they get enough of a drink or just a light sprinkle?
It's probably going to, well, they might get more than a light sprinkle, but the problem is it won't be widespread. It'll be fairly localized. We look at the overall rainfall of the last 7 days over the entire Midwest. The northern half of Illinois has actually done very well for the most part. Few spots as you get toward the central Illinois has had much less. And then there's some parts over southeastern Illinois that have gotten some rain. The worst area right now is southwestern Illinois from roughly St. Clair County up around along the river there throughout Pike County and those counties, basically Springfield on southwest. And then the far southern tip of Illinois has been pretty dry too. Generally, with the heat we've had and actually some windy days, we've had some pretty good evaporation, even though it's been humid. And we really need a good widespread rain, which doesn't look too likely at the moment.
What do you forecast?
Well, more of the same, I think, much of next week. Generally warm and humid. No, I don't think anything of heat wave proportions that we saw last week. We're generally up around, like this week, you know, upper 80s, low 90s with high dew points. But the good news is there looks like there might be a change in the pattern possibly beginning next weekend, which would bring us cooler weather. And by cooler, I mean cooler, probably into the upper 70s, low 80s, if in fact this happens. But it's a ways out, and we'll have to wait and see.
And what is that change?
Looks like generally more of a trough developing over the eastern U.S. that would bring some nice freshening cool, dry air into the Midwest and would probably bring some showers and thunderstorms if with the fronts that happen to come through.
Steve, you have a good weekend.
All right, Todd.
That's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget to visit willag.org or one of these radio stations, and you can listen to our Commodity Week program. It airs on our home station. That's WILL AM 580 at 11:30 a.m. Central Time on this station right here on, well, the home station, WILL. Commodity Week is our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets. Our guest this week is Bill Biederman. He's at Allendale. Stay cool, have a good weekend, and pray for a little rain for those folks in the southern part of the state. I'm Todd Jason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks.